Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking time today to listen to Sean Mike Podcast. In this episode, it's one I've been putting off for a little bit, but it's going to actually be time to go over the Husker season, just kind of react now the season's actually finished. There's been some separation, some recent Husker news that's happened lately as well. So, yeah, stay with me and listen to my reaction to the season and as we kind of break down some off-season moves. Okay, so I'm back here with you. It's crazy how coming off Black Friday, when the Huskers always play Iowa, how much time has passed since then, and just how quickly news travels from just a few weeks ago. But crazy how with the transfer portal and with this constant world we're in right now with college football, it's kind of just never ending right now. You get in the, it's not just recruiting or wrapping up recruiting, it's the transfer portal. So Nebraska actually picked up a punter of the year from Montana for the FCS level. So busy time of year, even when you're not actually in season or in the postseason or whatnot. So crazy times. First off, before we get into anything football related, I got to give a shout out. So Nebraska volleyball, they're playing in a Final Four game this Thursday night. So I'd encourage anyone to take time to watch them because they're truly the class of Nebraska athletics. John Cook's always set an amazing standard. I know they don't get a lot of shine. The only reason why I don't cover them more on my podcast is accessibility. Sometimes just bandwidth, honestly. Football is my passion. It's what I really cover. I cover a lot of basketball, too. But I'm appreciative of the volleyball team. I feel like they oftentimes do not get enough credit. They've been so consistent. National champions. Even if you look at what they're ranked, I believe they're number 10 or whatnot in the country. But I'm not for sure. But they actually weren't favored to win their game, and they actually made a run to get there. So shout out to them. Truly one of the most, probably the most successful program, at least in the modern era right now. We're looking at Husker athletics. So shout out to them. They deserve so much credit. Watch them on Thursday. Support the team. And that's what I got to say about that because they need a little bit of shine. But if we're looking at the Husker football news, and we're looking at the program. So Nebraska gets a solid lead against Iowa, has it to where they're in the driver's seat. Really looks like they've got a chance to close the season outright, to beat the rival. But that just was not the story of this team this year. Iowa just ends up coming back. Nebraska's not able to get a win. Iowa closes out this season with a win. And I believe that Nebraska set some type of record for, like, most one-score losses. So, hate to say it, but kind of a fitting end to the year. This team was in every game, it felt like. There wasn't really a game where you felt like they just got stomped. But, once again, one of those tough things where people have given Scott Frost a lot of flack for this, but the team not able to get a win. But it is what it is. That was just the story of this year. This team was just not able to close out games for a variety of reasons. This game, Logan Smothers started because, of course, Martinez was injured for this game. He had surgery, so Smothers gets to start. Showed some promise, looked good. Also a young player, so he had some turnovers late. Ended up being really critical. And I don't know, a lot of the fan base just seems like they're really down on Logan Smothers, and I can see why people might jump to that conclusion, but I'm just kind of like, he's had so little game action, and he looked good for a lot of it, but he definitely made some mistakes. I don't know. It's just, I think he's still got potential. I think it's more of an incomplete when looking at it, really, because when you're looking at that game, was there things that could have been improved or things that could have been done different? Yeah, but at the same time, you can say that about really a lot of young players. So I feel like it's kind of harsh how some people have just been like, hey, automatically go to the transfer portal. The QB's not here. Don't worry about Smothers. So we'll see what actually plays out. I know that I was looking online at Husker Extra too, so I want to give credit where credit's due. But I saw Stephen Sipple. I just read the headline on it. He was talking about how Ron Brown was just like how the transfer portal is kind of like being in LA traffic and where it's just nonstop. Things are constantly on the move and ever changing. So I think the transfer portal is going to be here to stay, and it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, Nebraska's So Samari Toure, he was a big add from the transfer portal. I previewed him early in the year, thinking he would make a big impact, and he actually did come up big in quite a few games. So, and he was a transfer portal guy, I believe. Probably going to get this wrong. It's going to frustrate me if I do, but I want to say he's out of Montana as well. So, not saying it's the same school, but I know that punter's out of Montana. I believe Samari Toure is out of Montana as well. But that's just going off memory, though. So already the transfer portal's made an impact for the Huskers. I think that every team's going to have, and a lot of teams already are on this, but you almost have to have someone who's just dedicated specifically to the transfer portal to be able to monitor that, because it's almost like a free agency period in a lot of ways. Because a kid says, "Hey, I need a transfer. I'm putting my name in the transfer portal," so makes it to where schools are able to contact that kid, able to recruit them. So it really, if you look at it from just a simplistic point of view, it's really opening up a recruitment period again. It's just that player has already been at a university, already been in college, but really they're getting recruited again. So that's really what it comes down to when you're looking at transfer portals. But yeah, I think that's only going to add a layer every year, and it's going to get heightened more and more. I think there's pros and cons to it. I think a lot of people feel that, man, it's frustrating seeing it to where some of the kids just don't want to stay. They want to put their name in the transfer portal. But then when you're looking at different coaches, whether it's Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, but obviously Brian Kelly had been at Notre Dame for a number of years, and still, he left Notre Dame, and he's able to move on. I mean, he doesn't have to wait time to be able to coach. He's able to take on his new role. Or if you're looking at Cristobal at Oregon moving on to a different job, having it to where he's taking on a new role. Lincoln Riley moving on from Oklahoma to take the USC job. They're just coaches leave all the time, guys. It's the reality of this. We like to make it all about the kids. In a way, it is about the kids. So don't get me wrong. They still have. They're the heart and soul of it. Without the kids, you've got nothing. But let's not get it twisted. These coaches are constantly looking for new jobs, looking for new opportunities, looking to really advance themselves. So I think overall, when you're looking at it, a coach can leave whenever they want. Why can't a player? Why was it that they used to have to sit out a year again after they put in the trans they were put in the transfer portal? Or I'm sorry, why am I the transfer portal hasn't been around that long. Why am I talking like that? Why do they have to sit out a year to transfer? To not be in a portal, have it to where you'd have to have coaches asking permission to be able to recruit a kid, to where it made it awkward, to where, well, how'd you land them if you have to always get permission from the coach? A transfer portal just makes sense in a lot of ways. So you'd like to see it a little bit different, but if someone's been, and I, you're seeing stories, where was it? There's a QB at a school. If I think of the name, I'll bring it up, but he had started at his school for like 3 years. He was like a 3-year starter, had over 2,000 yards, and he put his name into the transfer portal. So you're going to see that, and you're also going to see freshmen that feel like they're never going to make it up the depth chart, or sophomores, maybe even juniors, where they're like, I'm not getting a chance to play here, but I think I really have a good opportunity. You're going to see them put their names in the transfer portal. So I didn't want to go into this tangent about it, but there's definitely pros and cons. I'm personally in favor of the transfer portal. I think it makes sense. I think there's a balancing act for a player and that player's family, because family's so heavily influenced in college football. I think there's something to be said about waiting your turn, but there's also something to be said about, hey, if you feel like you can make a difference and you feel like you're not going to have an opportunity, I see both sides of the coin. So I definitely respect that. But anyway, I thought that quote from Ron Brown about the transfer portal was pretty interesting. If we're moving on from there, of course, can't get this far into the podcast and not bring it up. I think that one of the hugest things to come out of this offseason is the fact that Adrian Martinez actually put his name into the transfer portal. So he put out a Twitter post, very heartfelt, about how he's moving on from Nebraska. He's appreciative for his time, but felt like it was time to put his name into the transfer portal and see what's next for him. And honestly, when you're looking at Adrian Martinez, I think he's a very self-aware person. And I think that Adrian Martinez has gotten a lot of flack from the fan base. Of course, young, early on into his career, as Nebraska has tended to do with quite a few quarterbacks, or not just quarterbacks, running backs, whatever the position, we have it to where the first year they're kind of on the They're coming up, and all of a sudden we think the next year they're going to be a Heisman hopeful. We think they're going to be the most amazing player in the country. And while Martinez shows flashes, and other players at Nebraska have shown flashes, that's really unfair just to expect it to be to where you're going to see someone go from being a freshman to where the next year they're lighting the world on fire. There are few and far between for players that are actually legitimate Heisman hopeful candidates. And guess what? There's a whole nother tier below Heisman Trophy candidates who are still amazing players. And then you've got a tier below that that have the potential to be amazing players. It's all based upon pecking order. So to think that, I don't know, I'm not going to go into it more, but it's just crazy how quickly we put these expectations on kids, thinking that they have to live up to it. But bottom line with Martinez, he showed so much potential. I thought he was going to get more wins. I thought he was going to have that year to where they were going to have just that solid year where hopefully, even if it's 9-3, 10-2, 8-4, I mean, whatever it was going to be, you thought that they were really going to get there. Just never came together. And I think there's a variety of reasons. I think whether you're looking at, I know a lot of people point to the offensive line. I thought that they've had their highs and they've had their lows, but more times than not, Martinez was having a scramble trying to make an amazing play because something broke down or a snap went over his head or different things that can happen. Not making excuses, just the reality when you're looking at it. But offensive line play be a little bit tricky. I know that a lot of people always gave Scott Frost a hard time about Martinez. I felt like they stuck with him. He stuck with him too long, and maybe he should have looked to other options before it reached this point with Martinez. That's really easy to say, but we saw it when Luke McCaffrey was here, and Luke definitely had his moments and whatnot, but Luke McCaffrey didn't make a huge impact on the team this year, so there was that. You had Luke McCaffrey as an option. Logan Smothers, we saw him in this last game, so Logan Smothers definitely able to do decent the first start, but some of the same problems that a lot of people criticized Martinez about, Smothers dealt with a little bit in the game. So it's almost like, what are you really looking for out of the kid? Are you looking for him to be, do you just want him to be Superman, to where he's able to make up for every hole and then this team ends up going really far? I feel like Martinez almost turned into a polarizing figure. It's like you were either in the camp that said, hey, he has a personal life, he's et cetera, give Martinez a chance. And then at the same time, you're looking at it to where you had people where it's like, anyone but Martinez, get Martinez out of there, and need a new quarterback. And it's like you couldn't be a happy medium. You couldn't be an observant fan that had one of, you had to go to either you were a huge Martinez supporter or you couldn't stand Martinez and you had to be absolutely out of the program, whatever. It's just two extremes. I think he's going to go down as someone that has an interesting perspective. Obviously, when you're looking at all-time greats and top Husker players, I don't think Martinez is ever really going to be in that discussion. And I think that's simply going to come down to the win-loss record. Even if you have all the skills in the world, if you put up numbers and whatnot, when you don't have the amount of wins to go along with that, it's really tough to measure. And I think the one thing that's going to be difficult, whether it's for right or for wrong, you're looking at a lot of times it felt like he was right. Martinez would be right there having a great game, doing what he needed to. And then there would be that critical turnover. I know that he was, during his time, he was, I think he led the country in overall turnovers. I don't think that's an understatement. I think he actually did lead the country in overall turnovers. So even when you look at the things around him, it's like, hey, this could have been better. This could have been better. This could have been better. Eventually, you reach a point where it's okay. Well, I get that you have some of these deficits or whatnot, but if you're just able to not make that one pass to where it's a pick six or not have that fumble or whatnot, but at the same time, it's a lot easier to say than do. I'm sure, obviously, if it was that easier, it was a click of a button, and Martinez could just say, "Hey, I'm not going to make that critical mistake," or "I'm not going to make that play." Well, then he would have corrected it really early on and it just wouldn't have become a thing. clearly things break down, things are going 1 million miles an hour, and it just had it to where it led him to being in some spots where he would make mistakes and where to where they weren't able to win some of these games. I mean, let's looking back in the program point of view, let's look at it. You had it to where Oklahoma played them really tough. Michigan were able to keep it competitive. Michigan was able to, get the dub still. Michigan State definitely a winnable game. Looking at Iowa was a game to where had that in the driver's seat, definitely could have beaten Iowa. I know that there were so many one score games. You could look at a lot of their records. So you can't, I get it. They didn't win. They lost most of those games were one score games. But at the same time, it's one play here. It's a play here. It's having it to where you have a reliable kicker that's able to consistently make field goals. You get a shake punt that all of a sudden goes 15 yards. You give up a big return. Defense looks great. Then they have a breakdown. It's really easy to zone in on Martinez or look at one particular player. But as coaches used to tell me, and as I heard over the years, and what I still believe this day, you win as a team, you lose as a team. It's not all on one guy. Even if you have it to where you get in the position that's a 35-yard field goal, and the kicker misses a 35-yard field goal that could have won the game. It's not just on that player. It's, well, why didn't the defense play a little better? Why weren't they able to give up a few less points where you're not in that position? Why did the defense have it to where they were able to drive down to get in that position? Did the offense have a critical turnover that put them in a great point of view? It's not just on one player or one play. It's a team game. And overall, I think that's what gets lost so much. So, Adrian Martinez, wish you nothing but the best. I hope that you're able to land at a school that's able to. I would like to see you succeed, honestly. What I would prefer it not to be a Big Ten school, but if I'd like it to be somewhere else besides that. But if you land at, I know you visited Kansas State. I know there's different suitors or whatnot that's looking after you. But I would love to see Adrian Martinez have success at a different place. Kind of like when someone leaves Nebraska and they go on to the pros. Like Randy Gregory. Randy Gregory's, for example, had some off-the-field troubles, and then all of a sudden this last game makes a big play. I think he forced a fumble or got a pick or whatever. And haven't had a tremendous impact. I was really happy for Randy Gregory. I'm like, yes, get it. Finally. He needed to have a good game. It's not that he hasn't had a good game. He's been an impact player for Dallas, actually. But when you see someone that's moved on have success, you're happy for that. Like Burkhead, I believe he's at. If I recall right, I believe Burkhead plays for the Texans, if I'm going off the top of my memory. And he's been getting carries lately, so it's nice seeing him. Of course, Sue's still in the league. You've got a variety of Huskers that are in the NFL, even if it's just in a area Nebraska guy who maybe played at Iowa or played at K-State. I'm happy to see them have success. So I wish nothing but the best for Martinez. I don't think it has to be, oh, Martinez left the team, so I forgot about him or I don't care about him anymore. I want to see him have success, and I hope that he will, and I think that he can have an impact on someplace else. So we'll see what happens there. But if we're kind of shifting it back into gear, if we're looking at the perspective for the Nebraska season, I think one thing we really have to look at is the offseason now. So when we're looking at it, so Raiola was hired, he's either hired or in the stages of that. His brother played in Nebraska, big time offensive lineman, and Raiola is actually an offensive line coach for the Chicago Bears. So, looking forward to see what he can do, see if he can have an impact on the offensive line. What he's able to do with this offensive line, whether that means him playing a heavy hand in recruiting and figuring out the type of players that they want to bring on this offensive line, or just mentality with current guys. Sometimes you bring in a new offensive line coach, and he can change the mentality, makes that group a little bit more mean, makes them a little bit more aggressive, or makes it to where maybe they just go back to fundamental things and maybe were or weren't happening. I'm not a coach, neither is anyone listening to this podcast. Maybe there's a couple coaches listening, but a lot of us probably aren't. But that can have a big impact on techniques and be able to have it to where not even just by adding a lot of size, a lot of bulk, of course that helps too, but just doing, hey, you were doing it this way. I'd recommend doing it this way because it's going to be more efficient. You're going to get more out of it. Having that offensive line coach, it's really having a big impact on that, making it a little bit more physical too. So looking forward to see what he can add. I know that also Joseph, currently on Ed Orgeron's coach, who's being relieved due to conduct at LSU. He's rumored to be joining the Husker staff and having an impact. So he'd be the wide receivers coach. I know that there's still some. Scott Frost is still finalizing his coaching staff as a whole, but those are some of the moves that I've heard about early on. Also know that, like I said, Ron Braun's, excuse me, can't talk today. Ron Brown is active in the transfer portal. I'm sure he's not the only coach, but I know that he's who I saw has been pretty active there. So Ron Brown, long time Husker coach. Looking forward to see how he's able to navigate it with the transfer portal. I know that there was an article about Yance, and people were wondering, hey, why didn't Yance get he carries? He looked really good this year. He had flashes, and he sat out a game, and Ron Brown was just like, hey, he's not going to go into the details of it. Wasn't anything critical or really big, but some type of internal team thing, and kind of had to, wait his turn, have it to where he suited up, but he wasn't involved in the game. Ron Brown's actually really interesting. So if you're ever looking for an interesting quote or an interesting read, Ron Brown actually says things in like a certain way. I feel like when I'm reading the story about where Ron Brown comments or whatnot, I feel like, yeah, he'll give you like a straight answer, but he'll also kind of like, the way he talks is just like really unique. I feel like sometimes I'm reading, it's like, okay, what exactly is he trying to say? But then by the end of the article or whatnot, I'm like, oh, okay, I get where he's coming from now. I get what he's trying to get at. But very disciplined, very respected coach amongst Nebraska fans. So happy to have him be a part of the Nebraska staff. But overall, I think that it is what it is for next year, right? Because there's no real bones made about it. Trev Alberts restructured Scott Frost's deal. Now the buyout's less if they were to not turn things around next year. So it's really a big season for the Huskers. I think what people have to realize though when you're looking at it though is Trev Alberts didn't do that because he's saying, yeah, I want Scott Frost to fail, I want to get him out of here, et cetera, et cetera. He's doing that just because he's being realistic. He's looking at, okay, we've been at a certain point. I don't know if things are going to turn around. I want them to turn around. I believe in Scott's vision, but are things actually going to turn around? So he had to make adjustments. So looking forward to see what happens out of this upcoming year. I know it is a big year for the Huskers, and really, like I said, hate to use this term, but it's a make or break year. The buyout being lower, Scott Frost's contract getting restructured, taking a pay cut. So I'm looking forward to see what happens out of this upcoming Husker season and see if some of these staff changes and just philosophy changes overall, is this enough to make a difference? Is it enough to get Nebraska over the hump, be able to make that impact? I'm hoping so. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'm really hoping so. I'm hoping that with recruiting, they're able to do what they need to do. Transfer portal, they're able to tie everything in. I will be honest, though, it's more of my fan coming out in me. I think it's definitely possible, though. I don't see there's any reason why, hey, even if you take like two or three of those one score games and you have it to where you're able to flip the switch and not make as many mistakes, I think this team definitely has a chance to improve and have it to where Scott Frost has more of a long term contract adjustment or standing. But I think it's got to be that point to actually see results. And it's not about, hey, we almost got there. Hey, we lost by one score. Hey, we lost by this. The true wins and losses with this team are what's actually going to be looked at next year. It's not about potential. It's not about what they could have done, what they might have done. It's about what's truly out there on the field. And I think we're going to see what happens. And I'm hopeful that this team can make an impact. So that's what I have to you about the Husker football team. Look for more podcasts from me. We'll see if I do anything about recruiting. Haven't really done that too much, but we'll see if I want to go down that path. Also going to be diving into sports coming up, so whether it's maybe basketball games, et cetera, we'll see exactly what focus we want to do. I know I always have some Nebraska basketball pods, so we'll see if I let some out a little bit here later for you. But we do want to end this, please, on Thursday night. Watch the Husker volleyball team. They're a Final Four team. They're one of the most consistent teams in the Nebraska program. They deserved our respect, deserve our attention. Stop what you're doing. Stop the Thursday night football. Flip back and forth if you want, but turn on the Nebraska volleyball game on Thursday night. Watch them in their final four game. They deserve you to take a watch for their game. So I'll be back with you here to wrap up. Okay, and I'm back here with you to wrap up. So as always, thank you for anyone that's taking time today to listen to Sean Mike Podcast. Always appreciated. So however you find this podcast, whether it's on Apple, whether it's on Spotify, however it is you find it, continue to find it. Always appreciative of people that do take time to listen. Like I said, looking forward to putting out some more content. Having a tour, we have upcoming basketball games. Watch the Husker volleyball team this Thursday night in their Final Four matchup. So as always, thank you for taking time today on the Sean Mike Podcast. I'm out.